This morning's scripture is found in Acts, the second chapter, verses 44 through 47. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Let us join now in our song of meditation, number 426. Remember, this month we've asked for your favorite hymns, and I believe that was Randy's that he asked for. And so some of these are new to us. That's a great hymn. And I know that it's new to some people because for the first time I saw Genevieve have to look in the hymnal. So I know it's new to her because she usually doesn't need any hymnal for any of the hymns. But it's great to be able to sing some of those songs that are meaningful to us and then to learn some new ones. Will you bow with me? Lord, may your words be, may my words be your words, and open our hearts in new ways this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a very wealthy European couple living in Northern California. This was a few years ago. And they were going to have their baby christened. And because they were wealthy, they were able to have the priest come to their home and do it. And they had a big party. And they invited lots of people. And the guests arrived all dressed up. And they were invited to lay their coats on the guest room bed, as we all do. And then they were mingling and talking and having hors d'oeuvres. And pretty soon the priest arrived. And then it was time for the christening to start. And so the priest asked, "Where's the baby?" And so they had the nanny go upstairs to the baby's room to get him. And she came back in a panic because the baby wasn't there. She couldn't find the baby. And so everybody began to search. And then someone remembered that they had seen the baby on the guest room bed. The mother ran in there, and sure enough, she found the baby safe and sound asleep, but covered over by some of the coats. The reason that they had come had been forgotten, neglected, and covered over. People all around us are looking for meaning in their lives today. Some sense that new life might be found in Jesus, but why don't they seem to find what Jesus has to offer? Somehow we've lost Jesus. The world just doesn't know what it's all about. Somehow we've covered him up. Norman Vincent Peale tells the story of two women who were in New York City during the Christmas season, and they were going, looking at all the store windows. If you've ever been there, you can imagine they decorate those windows to the hilt with Christmas decorations, plus all the merchandise that they want to sell. And so they were going and admiring all these things, and they came to one window, and it was beautifully decorated, and there was all kinds of merchandise, but the window dresser had put a nativity scene right in the middle of it. And one woman turned to the other and she said, "Would you look at that? Even the church is trying to horn in on Christmas." So how do we get the word out? Why don't people know who Jesus is? And so it prompts the question, where is Jesus today? Well, most of the world starts looking at his birth. Like the shepherds, they go to Bethlehem and find him perhaps in a borrowed stable. But he wasn't there very long, because by the time the Magi arrive, he's in a house. But then he's not there too long either, because Joseph and Mary have to take the baby and escape to Egypt to get away from Herod and his revenge. So he's not in the manger anymore. He grew up. We look in the Gospels, we see that he grew up in Nazareth. We might catch a glimpse of him at the temple when he was about 12, but he was only there a couple of days. And then when he was 30, he moved out of Nazareth and he started an itinerant ministry. He traveled all over Galilee and up to Caesarea Philippi and Tyre and Sidon and down to the 10 towns. And he was healing and teaching and driving out demons. And then after 3 years, he left that to go to Jerusalem. And we're then in Holy Week. And we might try to find him in the upper room, but he was only there for an evening. We could follow the trail to the Garden of Gethsemane, but he was there just a few hours before he was hauled off to a mock trial by the Sanhedrin. And then he was taken out to Golgotha, where he was nailed to a crude wooden cross. But even so, the cross is now empty. And they took his body when he died and they laid it in a borrowed tomb. And on that Sunday, some of the disciples went to the tomb to pay their respects. But he wasn't there any longer either. Then he was seen by some of them before he left the earth. So where is Jesus today? How is the world supposed to find him? They seem particularly interested in looking for him at Christmas and Easter, but don't you find it interesting that most of them never really seem to find him? Why is that? And just where is he to be found? Well, I believe that the world, if it looks in the right place, can find Jesus. Where? Well, the Apostle Paul calls us the church, the body of Christ. That is, we are in actuality the presence of Jesus in a new form in the world today. It happened on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus manifested his presence through the Holy Spirit, who came and saturated the church fellowship. That's where Jesus is now, in the church. That means we are the very representation of Jesus in the world. We are his flesh and blood. Many times we say we are Jesus' hands and feet. What we do and how we behave is evidence of Jesus to the world. If the world could see the church in action as it's supposed to be, then they would find Jesus. But what does it look like? The text that Jennifer read from Acts comes right after the Pentecost celebration, after 3,000 people are added to the number of believers. Now, I don't want to belabor all that Luke tells us about that community of believers, but they were remarkable. Their body life was quite unique. They knew that God had called them together. Let's look at the description again. All the believers were unified and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. Here is a community of faith that supported one another, shared openly with each other, prayed and worshiped together daily. They were accountable to each other and responsible for each other, no matter what the need was. But notice that the focus of the body life is outward. They are caring for one another, but every day new people are coming to the Lord. The crowd saw Jesus in that community of faith. Missional is the word being used today. Missional is the challenge to be Jesus in the world because it's who we are and it's who we're called to be. You are a complete body of Christ only when everybody is involved, only when everybody is using their gifts and serving in some way, only when everybody is praying and worshiping, only when everybody is part of a small group or a Sunday school class or some ministry, only when we're all witnessing to our faith and we're all introducing family and friends and neighbors to Jesus Christ and inviting them to be part of us. We are the visible representation of Jesus to the world today. So how are we doing? For 30 years, Alice Evans had been seeking Jesus without even knowing it. Alice is a freelance journalist who lives in Eugene, Oregon, and she shared her testimony in an article in Christianity Today a few years ago. She said that she grew up in a Christian church until at the age of 12, her parents just left the church. And she spent the next 30 years looking for something to fill that spiritual hungering that she had inside her. She tried everything. She tried modern psychology. She tried, drugs. She tried gurus and New Age and the tarot and Buddhism. Anything and everywhere. She went looking for Jesus. She finally found Jesus when she talked to a friend who mentioned the name of Jesus that she said sounded like an invocation. And then she found it in a community of faith in Eugene, Oregon, at the Eugene Faith Center. She said this group of people warmly welcomed her, loved her, cared for her on her journey and in her search. And it was there in that community of faith that she found Jesus and was baptized. She wrote that her conversion came not in turning to Jesus, but in surrender to his body in the world today. Dave and I served a church in Southern California where I directed a weekday Christian preschool that was part of the ministry of the church. It was one Christmas season when the preschool had just put on their annual Christmas program, and we were over in the fellowship hall afterwards enjoying some refreshments and letting the families tell the children what a good job they did. And all of a sudden, a homeless woman walked into the fellowship hall, and I went over to her, and I greeted her, and I talked with her for a moment, and then I said, why don't you go have a cup of coffee and warm up and have something to eat? And then I went looking for Evelyn. Evelyn was a member of our church who was a social worker, and I just knew that she would kind of know what we should do next. And I watched as Evelyn went over and sat down and talked with her. And then Evelyn noticed that the woman had no shoes on. Now, I know it's Southern California, but I got to tell you, even in December at night, it gets chilly. And so Evelyn sat down on the floor and she said, "It looks like you and I are about the same shoe size." And she took off one of her shoes and she gently put it on the foot of this woman.
And I was standing close to her by then, and very quietly I said to Evelyn, what are you going to do? You can't go home barefoot. You'll freeze. Now, her words stung me. Not her attitude, but her words got to me when she said, I have plenty of shoes at home. She has none. I was touched that night by the giving heart of Evelyn and the simple act of charity that she offered that woman. And that evening, that homeless woman saw Jesus in that community of faith. There were two little girls who were putting together a nativity scene, like many of us did last month in our homes. We did it here in the church. And they first put a stable up, and then they added Joseph, and then they put Mary in there, and then the manger with Jesus in it. And pretty soon there were some shepherds, and then some sheep, and they added a donkey, and then they added the wise men and camels. And the very last thing they put on was an angel on the top. And then they took two candles that they had lit, and they were moving them around, trying to just get the best light on the nativity they could. And finally, out of frustration, one of them moved aside one of the shepherds and pushed one of the magi out of the way, and she grabbed the manger and she moved it up front, and she said, we've got to make sure that Jesus is showing. Where is Jesus today? He's right here. We are Jesus to the world. But we have to ask ourselves, is Jesus showing? Let us pray. Lord, you left us with your Holy Spirit, and you have empowered us to be your body, your hands, your feet, your voice in this world. May we take that seriously, and may we keep asking ourselves if you are showing in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. You received a little insert when you came in this morning. This is a course that, I don't know, it's been around as long as I've been around, and that's a long time. I don't know how many of you know this, but it's called Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in Me. Mary Lou's going to play through it once so you can get the tune if you don't know it, and then I think we'll sing it through twice because the words are so meaningful. So listen to the tune, and then Randy will come and lead us in it.
Thank you.
Listen to these words from 1 Peter. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are God's own possession. You have become this people so that you may speak of the wonderful acts of the one who called you out of darkness into his amazing light. Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father, and go remember the goodness of God, your body and your soul, by the grace of God, who has all day long, by the love of God, fully revealed in Jesus Christ, you and I will be redeemed.